Thanks again for listening, and join us in building up the kingdom by sharing Pod Apostle with a friend.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. At that time, John said to Jesus, "Teacher, we saw someone driving out demons in your name, and we tried to prevent him because he does not follow us." Jesus replied, "Do not prevent him. There is no one who performs a mighty deed in my name who can at the same time speak ill of me. For whoever is not against us is for us. Anyone who gives you a cup of water to drink because you belong to Christ, amen, I say to you, will surely not lose his reward. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a great millstone were put around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life maimed than with two hands to go into Gehenna, into the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life crippled than with two feet to be thrown into Gehenna. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. Better for you to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into Gehenna, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched." The Gospel of the Lord. The Gospel of the Lord, the good news of Jesus Christ. It sounds like rather difficult news today, okay? But I want to assure you that our Lord Jesus does not want anybody plucking out their eye or cutting off their hand or chopping off their feet, because sin doesn't come from our eyes or our hands or our feet. It comes from our hearts. But if it did come from your hand, you would be better off without that hand. But our Lord wants us to have a new heart, to get rid of the heart of sin. Our Lord's message and his teaching is so often profoundly challenging and difficult. And we far too often tame Jesus. We put him into our own little box. And this is why I challenge people and I encourage people to read the gospel, to get a Bible and read the gospel and meet our Lord in his own words. And you will find him both comforting and understanding and challenging and difficult and very hard to put into a box. Sometimes people like this gospel tonight, we'll just skip that part. We don't like that part about Jesus, so we won't say that. And that's not being honest. That's not being a true disciple, a true even preacher of who he is or what he taught. Gehenna. I've told this little story before. A few years ago, this is a true story. A few years ago, I went to Jerusalem. And Jerusalem is described in the Bible as a city set on a hill. Actually, it's on a series of hills. It's on a little mountain ridge. And if you go down the ridge one direction, you go to the Mediterranean Sea. And if you go down the ridge to the other direction, you go down to the Jordan River. And so Jerusalem is a city set on this ridgetop, this hilltop, and it's a natural fortress. And it has two valleys that surround it, one on the east side and one on the south side. And the one on the east is called the Kidron Valley. And you go from Jerusalem down through the Kidron Valley up on the other side to the Mount of Olives. But if you go out of the south of the city, You go into the valley of Gehenna. It's a real place. In this valley of Gehenna, there was an altar set up to a false god named Molech. And the unfaithful Israelites would go down into that valley and they would worship the god of Molech. And they even sacrificed their children there. They burned their children on altars. Now, what else did they do? They were perfectly okay with abortion. They were fine with adultery. They had no issues with orgies or alcohol abuse. All of those things were fine. The god of Molech says, sure, no problem. And people would go worship in the temple of Molech. Well, the prophet Jeremiah cursed that place, and the faithful Israelites turned it into a garbage dump and a sewer. That's where the refuse of the city would be stored and burned. And it was a real place with a smoldering stench and a fire. And so when Jesus talked about Gehenna, right? It was a concrete reality that they were very familiar with. And our Lord is essentially saying, you don't want to go there. Whenever we hear the word Gehenna in the Bible, we should think hell. That's the way it's translated. Hell is an abstract idea. Gehenna is a more concrete place. Our Lord says tonight in the gospel, better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than with two eyes be thrown into Gehenna, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. This is a difficult subject, and it is a subject that most preachers, including myself, would gladly avoid. But we have a lectionary. See the selections of the readings from sacred scripture given to us. I don't choose them, okay? They just come up in sequence. And I could still skip it if I wanted to, but I would be unfaithful. I would not faithfully represent the teaching of our Jesus, because he spoke about hell. He spoke about it often. Again, I ask you to read the Gospels for the first time. People want to believe in Jesus, but not in hell. People want to believe in forgiveness, but not in the consequences of sin. I've heard people say, oh, I don't believe in hell. Well, it's like saying, well, I don't believe adultery is a sin. I don't believe robbery is a sin. See, just because we believe something or don't believe something doesn't make it true. That was the sin of Adam and Eve. They wanted to be their own gods. They would determine what was right and wrong. And when God called them on it, guess who they blamed? They blamed each other, and then they blamed God. And that whole pattern is still with us to some degree, and I'll get to that. If you are Catholic, and you say the creed, and we'll say the creed in a few minutes, we believe that Jesus will come again and judge the living and the dead, then you believe in hell. It's the clear teaching of the church. If you take the words of our Lord Jesus and the writings of St. Paul and the tradition of the faith seriously, then you believe in hell. The church teaches about hell because our Lord Jesus Christ, blessed be his name, taught about hell. Hell is the result of our free will, our choice to either love God and love neighbor and love ourselves, or to be selfish and self-centered and sinful. Our choice to follow Jesus up the hill or go down into the temple of Molech. The doctrine of hell affirms a fundamental human freedom and the importance in our lives of choices. It is ironic that some people accuse the Catholic Church of being anti-choice. On the contrary, we revere choice, but we believe that there are some choices people should not make. Wrong choices. We believe that God has placed within each one of us a breathtaking freedom. You know, right now in our church, we're in a bit of a difficult place. We're in a schism. What is a schism anyway? It's a fancy word. And it means that there's a division, that there is a divide in the church. And there are preachers and teachers who claim the mantle of Catholicism, and they teach things that the church doesn't teach. The dividing line goes to the church along these lines, more or less. Abortion. There are some people who say, it's okay, you can have an abortion, that's all right. I'm Catholic, but that's okay. There are people who say same-sex marriage or same-sex unions or whatever you want to call it. That's okay, that's all right. I believe that women should be priests. I don't believe in hell. That's the kind of general line that the schism runs down, okay? And it's very real, and it's in our church. But the teaching of the church or the sacred scripture or both on those subjects is crystal clear. It is crystal clear. There's no debate in it. Not long ago, and this is a true story, somebody that I know was seriously interested in the Catholic faith. They were considering coming into the Catholic Church. And they had a conversation with a religious sister. And this religious sister told them there was no such thing as hell. Said, oh, my Jesus wouldn't send anybody to hell. And so this person came to me, troubled, and said, you know, I read the Bible. I'm a Christian already. I know that that's not true. Is that what the church teaches? And I said, no, the church doesn't teach that. She must have made up her own Jesus, okay? She must have made up her own church. It's not just a religious sister here and there. When I was in the seminary, and I've told this story before, when I was in the seminary, we began to pray the St. Michael prayer as we do here. There was a seminarian there who refused to pray it because he didn't believe in the devil and he didn't believe in the spiritual battle. I was flabbergasted. I was beside myself. Why are you here? Why are you here? Now, he didn't come up with that. Somebody taught him that. He was distorted and malformed. Now, we go back to the gospel for a second. And these words in the gospel tonight, whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin. See, there is this profound responsibility given to people who teach religion, who teach the faith, and that includes parents, that we must teach the truth. And the church makes these truths concrete and clear, just as our Lord does. When he talks about a millstone being tied around your neck and thrown, that's a clear image, isn't it? I don't want that to happen to me. So he speaks in these concrete ways to get our attention. Now, I'm going to say a name now, Cardinal McCarrick. Some of you know exactly who I'm talking about when I say Cardinal McCarrick. You know, he was on the wrong side of the schism. He didn't teach about hell. He didn't teach about mortal sin. He didn't teach about any of these things because he didn't believe in them. And that is so sad. But that's the state of the church in places today. We must read the gospel. We must read the teachings, the catechism of the church, and understand that there is this divide, and there always has been. I am responsible. We are all responsible to teach by word and example the fullness of the faith. So when Jesus talks about being tossed into Gehenna, he's warning us about a horrible place. The place where the unfaithful Israelites would offer their tiny children in sacrifice to a false god. One can worship Molech. Molech who says, if I'm strong enough to take it, I can take it. If I'm strong enough to take somebody's life, I can take their life. If I want it and I can get away with it, then it's mine. That's not Christianity. We can climb the hill with Jesus, or we can amble our way down to the temple of Molech. Some people will say, well, a loving and merciful God wouldn't allow anybody to go into hell. But let me tell you something. It's not God who makes hell. It's the evil spirits and the souls that go there. There's a priest, again, an exorcist. I told another story about an exorcist recently. Father Candino Amatani tells about what happened when he was performing an exorcism. And he told the demon, go from here. The Lord has a place for you. And the demon said, you know nothing. He did not make hell. We made it ourselves. I have no trouble believing that the fallen angels and the sinful human beings could make a place like hell. One only has to look at human history. One only has to look at the fantasy worlds that people make on video games and even in movies. God didn't make hell, nor does he destine anyone to go there, but he leaves us free to go there to the temple of Gehenna if we choose to. Jesus invites you and me to come to him. As I have said so many times, Jesus came to pick us up, not to put us down. He came to save us, not to condemn us, to heal us, not to accuse us, to forgive us, and to pay the price for our sins, even to the point of hanging on the cross and looking out of the crowd of the very people who crucified him and saying, "Father," praying for their forgiveness, and even making excuses for us. He'll go that far, but he won't go so far as to take our freedom away. That would destroy our essence. God will not fill heaven with robots incapable of freely giving themselves. The doctrine of hell poses a particular problem for people today in our society. We're full of people with a victim mentality, and that victim mentality influences all of us. When things go wrong, we look for somebody else to blame. My child is in trouble, it must be the teacher's fault, or the principal's fault, or the government's fault. Deep down, real freedom scares many people, and so they want somebody else to be responsible. Jesus' teaching on hell means that in the end, you and I are responsible, and our decisions have grave consequences. To avoid hell, all we must do is take that ownership of our lives, of our sin, and ask God for mercy. Through my most grievous fault. And we seek God's mercy, and we ask, and we knock, and we find our way. Lord, cleanse me from my unknown faults. Lord, cleanse my heart and heal me. Set my feet on the right path. From wanton sin, restrain your servant. Let it not rule over me. You know, the church talks about seven deadly sins. And just one of them I'm going to mention very briefly. I'm almost done, I promise. I know, I saved these last 10 minutes from last week, you see? The sin of sloth. Say sloth, that's laziness. Sloth is that spiritual sadness or misery that arises inside of us from the fact that to do good is difficult. The sadness in us from the fact that to carry the cross of Christ up the hill is difficult. And we become sad and miserable in the face of the reality of living a life in Christ, climbing the hill. You know, none of us can take a pass. To not choose means to slide, and a person can only slide in one direction. We slide down the hill into the world of the false gods, into greed and power and murder. I've seen a lot of people sliding in life, but I've never seen anybody sliding uphill. So we carry our crosses. We embrace the grace of God. We live in the love and the tender mercy of our Lord. And we do all we can not to go into Gehenna. And our Lord promises that we're here to celebrate his victory over sin and death and participate in the gift of life he gives us. And so we embrace that, and we desire to share that with others in the fullness of truth.